We're going to bow together in prayer. We're going to turn to God's word for a short time. And just let us ask the Lord for his help this morning. Heavenly Father, we just ask for thy help now as we would turn to thy precious word. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We pray, O God, that this word that is before us this morning, that we might hide it in our hearts. Help me, Lord, I need thee. Grant, O God, that you would just take control, and that through our meditation for a short time now upon thy word, that we would know the Lord drawing near just to each one in this congregation. May we be like little Samuel who said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We commit these things into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, please. Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he's some lovely phrases that he uses concerning the believers in this church. It was Paul's second missionary journey that he formed this church. And just to quote a few of the verses at the start of this chapter, we read in the verse 2, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all. He was leaving nobody out. No doubt within every church and within this church there were strong believers, there were weak believers. There were those to the fore of the work in Thessalonica. There were those that just, as it were, took their seat on a Sunday morning, whatever. There were those that were struggling. There were those that were known perhaps fierce temptation. Nobody else knew about it but them. And Paul says here, we give thanks to God always for you all. I like that. And then he says, making mention of you in our prayers. Then he says in the verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, he says, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. And then if you just look over the page, you'll see there in the chapter 2 and the verse 7, I think it's a lovely little verse as well. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church, so thankful for them, encouraged by them. He says there in the verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child or her children. And that's a very simple verse to understand, isn't it? A little babe just born, how it is handled with such tender care, such love, not wanting to hurt it. Little bones are soft, and you just know what it's like, mother, don't you, to handle a child with care. And this is what Paul was saying here, but we were gentle among you, even as an earth cherisheth the children. I wonder, believer, this morning, do we covet an attitude like that among other believers? I wonder, do we have that desire to draw alongside those perhaps who are weak and faltering, those who are going through hard times, maybe have put a foot wrong or 2 feet wrong? I wonder, is a believer do we draw alongside and encourage and seek to comfort, seek to strengthen. This is the Apostle Paul. But we want to move down to verse 6. And perhaps if we have time down to the end of the chapter. Verse 6, we read these words. Apostle Paul is writing. I want you to always remember that. Paul, he's writing to this church, to the Christian, to the assembly of believers in Thessalonica. It says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." These believers in Thessalonica were followers of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he refers to them. "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Yes, you go back, we'll not take time this morning, but go back to Acts chapter 17, and you'll find there the difficulties and the opposition that these dear people received. One is mentioned called Jason and his family. And so this little church was formed by opposition and by persecution. Everybody didn't love them, in other words. And as we sit here, and I just want to say this in passing, let us spare a thought for those across the world today who are suffering. I really suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. I get quite a number of missionary magazines. They wouldn't all dot our I's and stroke our T's, but it gives you a little insight or a little vision of what is happening to other Christians across the world. Countries where there's great opposition to the gospel, and things in some countries are not getting any better. And so, spare a thought, believer, in your private devotions. Lord bless missionaries across the world today that are suffering for the cause of Christ. These believers, moving on, were followers of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw that Paul's preaching and the apostles' preaching and their living were all of one piece, as it were. They couldn't be separated. They preached and they lived. And they lived and they preached. There was no contradiction. Their preaching Christ and their living for Christ were the same. And you know, that's important for us as believers. And if we seek to talk to other people about the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us and the wonderful change he has wrought in our lives, my, our lives should match up to that. Yes, their preaching and their living were the same. Paul could say, and it's in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, I'll just read it, "Be ye followers of me." Paul says to the church at Corinth, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Paul's preaching and Paul's living was the same. Oh, how the world watches on. How the people across the road watch on. The people in work, the office, the factory, wherever you are, they're watching on. And I believe that this is important in our Christian lives, that our living and our preaching or our testifying, whatever way you want to put it, is the same. Of course, Paul's main desire was that these dear believers in Thessalonica might follow the Lord. That was Paul's main desire. they might be followers of the Lord. And of course, the Lord is the perfect example, isn't he? You just have to read the Gospels and read his ministry, how he went about doing good. I'm going through this year John's Gospel with R.C. Sproul and Table Talk, and my, what wonderful, wonderful lessons we have learned from it concerning the Lord's earthly ministry. And it's just been a blessing just to see the Savior and how he handled various situations that he came across. My, he was divine. He was God. He knew everything. Oh, that we might, could I use the word imitators of Jesus in our daily life? You know, I think that's what Paul was wanting these dear believers in Thessalonica to be, imitators of Christ. We mentioned that verse, be ye followers of Christ. I wonder this morning as we look into our lives, if the Spirit of God speaks to us this morning, I wonder, have we that desire just to display, just to show forth something of what Jesus was like whenever he walked this scene of time? Something of what Jesus means to us every day. What did Jesus mean to you in the week that has passed? What did Jesus mean to me in the week that has passed? Times of temptation, times of disappointment, times of stress, even times of bodily ailment. There's none of us getting any younger. None of us getting any younger. And that phrase was used in the prayer meeting before we come in here this morning, and I thought it was good. None of us getting any younger. And that brings its problems. I'm being very practical this morning, haven't I? You don't jump out of bed as quick and as handy as you did 20 or 30 years ago. You young ones wouldn't know what that means, but isn't that true? And isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is with us? These believers in Thessalonica, move down to verse 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That wee word, example, we'll just use example. More simple for a simple creature like me. Their example as believers spread, had an impression on other people. They had an example to those that they mingled with. It says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, if you look up a Bible map or a map, you'll notice that Thessalonica is down on the coast, and the Macedonian area is big, and then Achaia. It's a vast area. But Paul was able to say he had heard of their testimony, that they were examples. They were imitators. I used that word before, I use it again. They were imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying about these believers that as they became followers of Paul and of the Lord Jesus, they were a good example to others. Tell me, what influence as Christians have we? What influence as believers, have we? Not only within the church assembly, but could I say in our neighborhood? And the man or woman that lives on the other side of the fence, or across the street, or the ones we rub shoulders with in our workplace, I or our families, what influence as Christians have we got? An influence for good? What a testimony these believers had. The example they displayed. I read a little phrase, I can't remember where I read it, but I wrote it down. Christians should be so good as their example they affect others. Christians should be so good as by their example they affect others. Does your Christian life affect? Does my Christian life affect other people? I'm talking now about other Christians, perhaps, yes. But those who are not Christian, does my life as a believer have an effect on other people? You know, I think that's so important this morning. You know, we can dress ourselves up and we can be so good at so many things and we can tick so many boxes. I wonder, is my Christian life, every day that I live, has it an influence for good? An influence for good? Just let us turn to a very familiar portion in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. The greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we read there in the verse 13. We're talking here about an example. Ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But if the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Salt has a cleansing effect, hasn't it? A purifying effect. This reminds us, as believers, that we should have a good effect on society. As I said before, in the home, in the workplace, in the local society. Paul said there in Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I need to know that verse through and through as I meet with people, as you meet with people. They want to talk to you. They want to discuss something with you. Maybe they come to you for help, for encouragement, for guidance. Are you the sort of a Christian that can go alongside them and they can feel comfortable in your presence because they know that you love the Lord? Yes, these believers, they were salt in Thessalonica and Macedonia and Achaia. And then he says also in this chapter, ye are the light of the world. I wonder, whenever we go around, do we have something about us that brightens up a place? Do you ever hear of a wet blanket? Maybe that's what some of us are like, a wet blanket. Disaster. Or I wonder, whenever we enter into a situation, do we bring light? Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And this world is in darkness. We don't have to go into that, elaborate on that this morning here. You all know. But I wonder, as Christians, are we a light in a dark place? That's why we're saved. That's why Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our hearts and into our lives, so that we might show it to others. Jesus is not here as he was during his earthly ministry, but we are here in this place. I wonder, am I displaying something of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to others that are in darkness? I wonder, when you go into a room, I'm frightened to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. See Heather smiling. I wonder, when you go into a room, do you lighten it up? I wonder, are they glad to see you? This is maybe into an unsaved home even. I wonder, are they sad to see you leave? You know the end of it? Or are they glad to see you leave? That's the influence that we should have as believers. Move on very quickly. A city that is set on a hill. I wonder, are you set on a hill today? Do people see you? Not seeing you, but seeing something that is genuine. Something that is different from other people. Not odd. Plenty of odd people about. But I mean different. Somebody that carries with them something of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, whose temple you are. I walk about as a believer, as a representative of Jesus Christ upon earth. Do they see Jesus in me? I remember as a boy going to brethren camps away down in Kilkeel, Mourne Grange. 70 or 80, 90 boys all gathered in the big, big lounge. And we were taught a chorus, never forgot it. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. Till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Are you an example? Are you an influence for the Lord Jesus Christ? Their example, it was extensive. I must be very quick. Time is gone. It was very extensive. It reached, and you'll find it there. Paul mentions it twice in this chapter that we read together. So that you were in examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. And then in the verse 8, he repeats it again, as it were. It's good to repeat things. And then in verse 8 it says, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, look at it, but also in every place. Your faith was spoken. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. In other words, these believers in Thessalonica, it was spread abroad everywhere. Now, how that happened, we're not told, but perhaps they were toing and froing from the port in Thessalonica. People met them, and they left, and they went to other areas. And they started to talk about the Christians back in Thessalonica. I wonder, do other people talk about us in a good sense, in a good way, in a commendable way, in a way that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust that that would be my desire and your desire today. We read in the early church in Acts 4:13 that those around, and this was only the commencement of the Christian church after Christ had sacrificed himself upon the cross and went into the tomb and was risen and went back to heaven. The early church, it says, pardon me, they took knowledge. They took knowledge. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Again, personalizing it to us this morning. In the past week, have people that met us, did they take knowledge that we had been with Jesus? Was there something that came from us, a sweet fragrance of the Savior? Maybe to another believer that we were talking to and they needed a word. Did they leave your company and say, ah, yes, that lady, that sister, that brother, that young person, they have been with Jesus? It says in the verse 8, from you sounded out the word of the gospel. And then lastly, not only their example and the extent of their example, but finally, the effects of their example, or the effects of their faith, could we say. Verse 9 and 10, I leave it with you to ponder yourselves, but I'll just give you a few wee thoughts. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Turn to God from idols. That's true conversion. A turning. I remember as a boy listening to my dad preach, pardon me, and whenever he talked about repentance, preaching doesn't run in the blood, by the way, just in case you think it does. I remember him explaining repentance, and he would have walked across the pulpit like this, and he would have done a roundabout turn and walked the other way. Never forget that. And you know, that's what repentance is. It says here, these dear people, these dear believers, they turned to God from idols. The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. Not only did they turn to God from idols, but they served the living and the true God. Is your life a channel of blessing today? Are you seeking to serve him? Are you seeking to live for him? Are you seeking to tell others about Jesus? There's a world out there that's perishing. In our community, people know not the gospel. People say, oh, Ulster's full of the gospel. You just have to go and talk to some people, and they don't know the very basics of the gospel. I was talking to a young man a while back, Roman Catholic lad, got into a lot of difficulty. He was in hospital. I was visiting him. And I read a few verses of scripture to him. And I said, James, did you ever hear of John 3:16? No, he says, Trevor, I didn't. Oh, yes, it says here to serve the living and the true God. And then, finally, and to wait for his Son from heaven. To wait for his Son from heaven. That's the great hope of each one of us today who know and love the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And through all our troubles and trials and all our blessings, let us dwell upon some of the wonderful blessings. Sins forgiven, peace with God, a home in heaven. Said to his worried disciples there in John 14 after going through John 13 and all the things that had happened in that chapter, how they must have been so puzzled in their minds. In chapter 13, Jesus washed their feet. Judas betrayed them. He gives them the great example of love. This shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then, of course, at the end of that chapter, Peter was to betray him. And then he comes along to his disciples, the 11 of them, and I can just imagine what it must have been like to be there. Gathers them around. He says to them, he knew their hearts, you see. He knows everything about us. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. That's the great hope of the Christian today. Oh, may we leave this place this morning by God's help and by God's grace to be a good example and to extend it as far as we can and to rejoice in knowing sins forgiven and one day Jesus is coming back again. Thank you for listening. We're just going to sing a verse or two of a hymn and then we'll close in prayer. Hymn 526, please. 526. It's a challenge. The missionary hymn. I have only one life on this earth. Father in heaven, we ask thy blessing upon your word. We thank you for it. We pray, Lord, you'll forgive anything that has been said amiss. We take thine own word and apply it to my heart and to the hearts of those in this congregation today. And grant that we might leave here with that one desire to serve the Lord and to let the Lord have his way in our lives and to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us every day we live. Part us with thy blessing, the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. May it be our abiding portion both now and forevermore.